Father, we ask again to bless this, I pray, this service. And I pray, Lord, you would open the Word of God to our heart. Our desire, Lord, to do our best to teach the Word of God. And our desire to learn from you. And Lord, I believe you want us to know. Some people talk about, well, everybody interprets the Bible the way they want to. Lord, yes, we can, but that's not what you want. You want us to learn because you desire for us to learn. You documented this book. You didn't document it. You didn't inspire it to be written for us to form opinions about it. You wrote it so that we could study it to be convicted of those things that God leads us so we can understand what's happening on the horizon, what's happening around us. And Lord, that strengthens us, and we thank you for that. And I pray tonight the Holy Spirit will have a great way through my heart, as feeble as it may be, to bring that which others could grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we do get into that, I would, every once in a while, we'd get a lot of missionaries come through. A lot of them stay at the mission house. I had a missionary stay recently, a few days out here, who had never stayed before. And we generally just put these letters up, but I thought I'd read this to you. Because it was first time one came and the impression he had of what was going on here. And he says, so dear Dr. Ennis, thank you for your Christ-like spirit of hospitality. I appreciate the use of the mission guest house while I was in the area for meeting. The house was very comfortable and provided a relaxing time for the few days I was there. Your fine staff, which were such a blessing and help, Mrs. Ennis, Carolyn, Betty, Brian, and Keith, were all friendly and helpful. The Lord has blessed you with a tremendous ministry. Praise the Lord. I know you give him all the glory. When you're ready to help in the future claim, please let us know if I can help in any way and make it a reality. May the Lord continue to bless you for his glory. Here's a P.S. By the way, after I left your folks and traveled down to be in a mission conference with Pastor Swagger in Spring Lake, North Carolina, one of the missionaries in that conference was Brother Kyle Austin. And he told me what a blessing you have been to his life through these years. It's amazing because I'm going to be preaching the ordination service with Brother Kyle in a couple of weeks from now and up in where he's at. And oh, it's amazing how things come together in it and what God does. And we've been very blessed, but Kyle's also out of a church, even though this time, it's normal for pastors when they're ordained to be ordained. If they're pastoring a church, a new church, go to that church or go to that ministry. His ministry is there in Appalachian College up in the mountains now, and the church nearby. So it's privileged to go up and be on that council and also preach the charge to his ordination service. And I think we have a lot to be grateful for. So some 15 ministers have gone to our church in the last 47 years, and we thank God for that. I just thank the Lord for it. All right, take your Bible, first of all, tonight. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start there, the Lord's help. We've been talking about the Federation head. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, I've said maybe a number of times, if we get this in our mind, how it works, you're going to understand a whole lot about what God's doing spiritually. Because I believe, because of the frail of the body and the frail of our mind, even though we have a new creation in Christ Jesus, we have a lot of hindrance in this body. Everything we learn has to be filtrated in our mind, our brain. We have to put it, not only to get it, but put it into practice, because if we get something mentally in our mind or brain and don't put it into practice, it don't mean a whole lot. Everything we have, we use, and as we use that which we have, more we use what we have, the more it becomes a reality to us to understand things in life. More life comes real to us. And same thing with being born again, the second birth. This birth is into a field you can't see with your physical eyes. It has to do with faith. And so it's a new means of walking. You and I, born in this physical world, had to start off as a babe. Even we didn't know anything, know nobody. And for periods of years where we are now, we have developed to where we are now. Well, when you start out with the spiritual birth, it's the same way. We start out as a new babe in Christ. A man may be 90 years old, but if he gets born again, he's still a babe in Christ. And he starts out, and we are to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And like we say again, God all of a sudden don't make us, when we get saved, he don't make us to have the mind to understand everything he's done or will do. But everything he wants us to know is in this book. And by the way, he don't make us have a mind to understand everything in this book without studying it. And even when you study it, you'll find it's divine, and we're not divine as far as the physical flesh is, even though there's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when we study it, we still have to study hard and study long to tie everything together, because God don't automatically just give it to us. God understands, I believe, us better than we understand ourselves. And something we learn, and once we practice it, it becomes more. You go to work somewhere or another, and you go sit in a class and sit down, that something's done in the class, and then from there on out, never have to do what's in that class. It will never be anything to you. You have to practice what you learn to be good at, to become good at it. And the same way with the Word of God. So here in 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at chapter 15, verse 45. Let me go back and read verse 44 down a few verses, and then we'll see. God is letting us see in the Scriptures the parallel of understanding. There's a federation head of the human race. What does that mean? There's a federation head of the spiritual race or the spiritual child of God. What does that mean? How does that work? Why is that necessary? Why is it that we know that you have to be born again to be saved, and yet most of the world don't even think about being born again? All you got to just be sure you connected, hopefully, to the right God. I remember Bob Hope said one time, somebody asked him, he said, what kind of religion was he? He said, well, I'm every religion. What God? He said, well, I believe in all the gods, so I'll be sure to get him right, at least one of them. Well, I tell you that, that's a poor way to believe in gods, because you can end up away from God very fast. Like, there's so many Alfred out there, and the same way, there's only one way to get to the true and living God through Jesus Christ, and we know that. Now, look at me in verse 44. Paul said, this body is sown as a natural body, is raised as a spiritual body. He's laying in comparison to the two so we can understand. There's a physical body, and because there is a physical body, God now in grace has shown us there is a spiritual body, but you cannot see the spiritual body in the sense of the physical body. Now, I look here tonight, and if you're born again and say you are, I know that you are the spiritual body of Christ. I look here tonight, this good group, and I see that in this group, this whole body is the spiritual body of Christ. But it's in a physical body. And as far as the world can see a physical body is no different than the physical world. But you and I know there's an element in there that has to do with God that you cannot see. And we know that though we can't explain it, for the unsaved cannot understand, because it's really hard to explain how this saved can understand, even when we have the Holy Spirit of God. God gave us His Holy Spirit. And you find, as you study this book, and when the Holy Spirit gets us to the point we need to be, there'll be some things will explode in your heart and life. You cannot explain it. You can try to the day you die. You cannot explain what happened, but you knew it happened. You just know it happened. And it will just revolutionize your life, that where things change. Some people, you know, say things change and look at the horizon, you don't see a thing change whatsoever. When God moves in, He changes things, folks, that needs to be changed. And so he said, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Now, if there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, then I must learn what they are to really understand. And if I'd say to you right now, no more than what we've seen the last few weeks, when you talk about a natural body, what are you talking about? Flesh. Right here. Every last one of us have a natural body. We were born in the nature of Adam. And though we know, we've already seen many weeks how we came from Adam through the loins of Adam. And therefore, he is the federation head. In other words, he is the head of man in the image of God throughout time as far as earth is concerned. The natural body is an earthly body. Now, Paul says not only is there a natural body, but notice he talks about there is a spiritual body. When he said it's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. He said in forth the natural body we're in now, something takes place in turn that when it goes to the dust, we're raised in a spiritual body. It doesn't mean that we have to sleep in the grave, like some people say. It just simply means that there's a difference between this body goes back to the dust and the glorified body that's going to be received. And then just in case we're confused, from the time that we leave this world through death until the time the rapture takes place, Corinthians tells us there's a body. He doesn't explain it, but God doesn't leave us floating around in space somewhere with no means of what's going on. We're in the presence of God. The baptism from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're in the presence of the Lord, and God said He'll prepare a temporary situation. He calls it a type body in the church at Corinth that we are in until He gives us the glorified body. You see, God does things on time, and God does things right, and God does things equal. We go out of this world through the excess of death, and there's a place the body goes back to the dust. We go to be in the presence of God, and there's a temporary means that God keeps us kindly. It's not that we cease to exist, but it means God has stopped as far as his plan for the glorified body in that city. So what he does, we're in that state, a wonderful state, enjoying the presence of God in the house he makes for us at that time, until it comes time that triggers to come back for the church to raise us all together, though most of the church is in heaven and what's on the earth, and we know how he does that. Comes back, the saints with him, the dead in Christ will raise first, we which are changed, and we meet the Lord in the air, and we get a glorified body. So now time starts from the time that we die, and God's plan and purpose that we see scripturally, from the time we die physically until the time that we are raised from the dead, we're with him in heaven, we're enjoying that glorious bliss, everything God has offered, we're there, but there's no element to know what's going on. God's left that not left us ignorant of that, except we're with him. Then he picks up when the rapture takes place, boy, it starts again. So what's happened, time has emerged back into eternity, and when we get there to the place of the rapture, you see, those who serve God all through the years, those who get there now are not going to have the privilege to have the rewards and so forth that God promises, and then another 100 years or another 1,000 years go by, and others come along. God says, no, from the time, right now, from you're saved to the time God takes you home, there's a time out. Every word you ever done, everything you've done for the Lord, that now ceased to be. And what you've done from that after you're saved is waiting until the time that God gives everybody. When God rewards one, he rewards all. He's fair. Amen. He's fair. And he just said, we don't have to worry about the time that we die until the time of the rapture, because we know we're going to be with him, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. By the way, he don't have to tell me nothing else. Did you know that? Man, a lot to be here and be present with the Lord. Got to be a whole lot better. And then we see when the rapture takes place, that's when we go before the bema seat. We're judged according to our works. God gives us rewards. We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, all that in heaven, while the tribulation period takes on this earth. So we had, I get the natural body and get the spiritual body to understand more so. And you say, well, I've already done that. They may be, some have not. So sometimes you have to listen to things you already know. And then somebody else can catch up with us all. Now it goes on and watch, he says. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, okay? That helps me. The first man, Adam. So when I know you talk about the natural body, you're talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden. He's the first man. He's in the image of God. That helps me understand through the procreation, he's the federation head of the human race. Everything can go back to him. In other words, he was the first of human beings, and all human beings came from him, from the loins of Adam through procreation. But watch what he says. He said the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Isn't that what God said when he blew the breath of life into Adam in that lump of clay? You mean what he said? He formed him from the dust of the ground and blew into him the breath of life, and he came what? A living soul. Even now, the Holy Spirit keeps it intact that what happened when God blew into Adam the breath of life, he became a living soul. And he said, now that man, first man, back there, calls his name by Adam, was a living soul. Now, but watch, but that which is, again, in verse 44, 45, was a living soul. The last Adam, and sometimes he referred to the second, but it's better to say the last, because if you say the second, it might be a third. So when you say the last, there's not going to be another one. The last Adam, watch, was made a quickening spirit. Oh, that's different. The first was a living soul created by the hand of God. The last Adam that came, which we know as Jesus Christ, he sets forth that he says was made a quickened spirit. Now we understand, what is a quickened spirit? I mean, in Ephesians 2, Paul said that you who at times trespassing sin had quickened. It means made alive. In other words, as Adam, God gave life to Adam in procreation, he could give life to his offspring. Jesus Christ came, and that which is already alive, that's dead spiritually, has the ability to give spiritual life, which is the very life of God, by quickening, making alive that which was dead. And that's what we have when you look in Ephesians chapter 2. And he makes this statement in the beginning of that chapter, which is really a chapter of grace, but he starts off this way when he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So what happens is, Jesus Christ also now is the head of this spiritual race. And therefore, he has the power to take a dead man spiritually who comes from Adam's loins, born into this world, dead spiritually. And the only way we can have a connection with God is spiritual. God is a spirit. And when Jesus came, now he has brought that life to that which is dead, and he's offered it in that unconditional love we talked about Sunday. And what happens now, the condition comes that that person who is born of Adam, who is dead spiritually, God, has no understanding about God, that when he hears the message that God has of the gospel, we know in the age of grace, it's proclaimed, Holy Spirit takes that gospel and draws someone to the Lamb of God. When they by faith receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, Jesus Christ quickens them. The power of the gospel of Christ brings life to them, the life of God. So now we've got Adam, the first Adam. He's the federation head of the human race. And we got Jesus Christ, the last Adam, which was also a man. That's the reason Jesus came and was born through Mary. That's the reason that he was developed like he was. Jesus Christ was fully man. And now we're seeing Jesus Christ as the federation head. Why? Because he has power to quicken, make alive that which was dead. Now we have two running in parallel with each other. The first Adam and the natural man. The second Adam. And the first Adam is Adam, the first man. This last Adam is Jesus Christ, who has the power. So as the first Adam comes through developing, we have to deal with our age of grace. Before, you go back to the Old Testament and see how God dealt. But we live here. Here's where we need to kind of stay at. Somewhere along the line, when Jesus came at Calvary and died, now he's moving in. Here comes Adam's descendants, and then Christ dies. Now both are coming. And now Christ in the gospel is reaching over in to bring this into his line of lineage, to be in the family of God. And now here we have running down the course of life, Adam from the beginning, the federation head of the human race, and Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the federation head of the spiritual life, which is the spiritual child of God. And by the way, ladies, that's real. You'd be surprised that people who say they're saved don't understand that. They literally think it's all run together somehow or another. And that's the reason, well, you know, you read the Bible, anybody can read the Bible, and anybody can make the Bible say what they want to say. Yes, we can, but God wants us to make it say what he wants it to say. And you can't do that without putting it together. And by the way, it's more than just 1 hour a week reading. Because God's not going to show a thing until you connect the dots right. Now watch as we read on a little bit further here in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to get into something good later. I don't know if you can get anything any better, but look in 1 Corinthians back with me again. And he goes on, he says now, he explains this. Look in verse 6 when he said the last Adam was quickened spirit. Verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. Now, let me ask you something. What does that say to you after you just read those first two verses? He said, wait a minute now, howbeit, that which is, notice, he said, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And after that which is spiritual. Now, what do why he tell us that? What does he mean when he said that? He said, listen, we're talking about a spiritual birth. We're talking about a natural birth. And we want you to know that the natural birth is first and the spiritual birth is second. The spiritual birth can never be first. Some people say, well, we're born this way as God's children, so we're already there. No, we're not. He says that the natural man was first. Isn't that what he said? And then he said the spiritual man. And so how be it? That was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. So that's the reason we say, hey, all of this time, God, even in the Old Testament, as God set up the system for Israel, as that, and that's another thing, you see. Not only we have from Adam, everyone that we come to our day and to the end of age comes from Adam. But wait a minute. When you come to the Jewish nation, God set up another federation head. That's Abraham. Now, not too long ago, I heard this said. Thank you, Lord, for getting my mind. Somebody said, well, now, wait a minute. You go back, and you were teaching back weeks and months ago. You go back when Adam was created and came down to Noah's day in chapter 6, and all of a sudden, all the generations of Adam are destroyed except Noah and his family. And now you got to say, hey, they didn't come from Adam. They came from Noah and his family because those eight people were the only eight people alive after the flood, if your story is true. So they had to come from them. What difference is it? I don't sound like tentative, but what difference does it make? But the reason I say that, why? Because Noah and his family came from Adam. Why would somebody get hung up and say, wait a minute, that's wrong. We come from both Noah and his family, not from Adam. Well, if it hadn't been for Adam, Noah and his family wouldn't have been here. Amen? Lord, I declare. I guess sometimes things so simple, you have to realize that some people don't make, it's not simple, and you have to take your time and courtesy and patience and lay the foundation and even let understand to say, well, that's just your opinion. No, folks, listen. There's no way in this world what I've said to you here tonight, you cannot go back yourself in this Bible and study it to see it so. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of what is working in the age of grace today. Just simple as that. And we either are going to believe what God says or we're going to believe, and somebody said, well, you think you got a monopoly on God. It just amazes me when you stand up to teach this book how some people will think, not here mostly, but others see us different ways, and they think, well, they think you're the only one who knows anything about the Bible. You know, Gunwale, I'm as ignorant as anybody can be, but I'll tell you this, I'm not too ignorant not to study. And I know what I know. There's a lot of things I don't know. Because there's some, hey, did you know when you talk to someone about, do you know that you're born again in the family of God, they think that you're bragging. And all you're telling is speaking the truth. Aren't you glad you can know some things about God? Amen. I don't have to wonder. I'm not looking at another God. I'm not looking at someone else's way of life. When somebody comes and says, well, let me show you and try to prove something so great. I'm telling you, it's good to know I need to be looking at other things other than trying to find the God I'm serving. I know who he is, and you do too, I think. That's the reason you're here. And I'm telling you, to do that in this world. You know why? Because people in this world think religion, growing in religion, is equivalent to biblical saved, and it's not. Because we can be led astray. And I'd be the last one in the world to say, there's so much I don't know. You'd be surprised. I get along with God. There's a lot of things I don't know. But when you study these things out, now watch what he said. He said in verse 47, he tells us again, he's still describing these two. And if I get these two in line, I'm talking about the natural man and the spiritual man. If I get them in line and how they work, parallel work in this world, then I'll understand what my job is spiritual to reach over into this to try to reach that natural man. Notice what he said. The first man is the earth, earthly. Which one is that? Adam. Which Adam? First Adam. See, you already got it. Now, let me ask you something. There's not no one in this world can change your mind about that if God's really showed it to you. Somebody said, well, wait a minute. We don't believe we came to that. We think we came from outer space somewhere or another. Well, keep believing that, and you're wrong. That's all there is to it. Well, we don't believe the Bible. Well, you don't have no source anyhow then. Oh, yes, we do. We have Dr. So-and-so back on it. No, this is the accurate book, folks. Man, when I say, I'm not talking about you folks here. I'm talking about the way the world, by the way, you in it every day. You know what I'm talking about. If you try to witness anyone most in this day anywhere, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You really have to have a heart that compassion, full of compassion, and take a lot sometimes to talk to someone until they realize that you can take the Bible. You know what help us, I find. About a lot of times somebody will say, but I know it's in the Bible. I don't know exactly where it's at. Well, find it for me to help me because I believe everything the Bible has to say if it's in context. Don't hand it to me out of context because God will show us out of context pretty quick. If someone comes along to me now and talk about it, well, say, here's an Old Testament, had to give sacrifice. We have to give sacrifice today because it required an Old Testament. God said it back there. If he had it, it must mean today. Hey, don't come at me with that. I'm not going to waste my time on something like that. Jesus Christ was my sacrifice. Well, why do you study the Old Testament for? I need to understand what happened in the Old Testament. Because if Jesus died for all men, he had to die for them as much so as for us. And for anyone that comes in the future. Now understand what happened in the Old Testament. God gave them a blood sacrifice to do so that they showed their faith in him until Jesus could come. And then you get to Hebrews and he said, the blood of bulls and goats can't, you heard me say a minute, can't take away sin. Amen. Cannot take away. Don, good to see you tonight, brother. Don's been very sick. It's good to see him. I have to see you, bro. I'm good to see you. That's a commercial, I guess. I have to see him in my mind. I want to say that he's here. My mind's running in different directions. You say, let's run home. Okay, we're ready to go. Oh, me, Lord Jesus. Please help us. He said again. Howbeit was it that first man is spiritual, but that which then he said, the first man of the earth is earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, as it is earthly, such are they that are the earthly. Earthly. And as it heavenly, such are they that also the heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall, watch this, future, also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now that verse has a lot. That tells me this. Someone said, well, this thing, you're the age of grace, just to think a new birth is that separates those who really believe in God and don't believe like you do. No. You know what that tells me, ladies and gentlemen, for me to know the fact that without Jesus Christ, according to this book and from Genesis to Revelation, I don't care where you read, somehow or another, it's connected to Christ, even though you're talking about history or something. Because God has given us a parallel through the scriptures when Jesus came and why he came and showed us a picture of him coming. And now we have a picture of where he did come. And I don't care where we're reading that. I don't care what God is doing. He's showing his plan and purpose that centers around Calvary sooner or later. He's doing that. And so what I see here that he said, now that which is flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. That means then this body could never go in the portals of glory in the New Jerusalem where the street of gold is at. Now, to an lost person, now I understand that. You know why I understand that? Because this body is corrupt. This body has never been redeemed. You've heard me say that many times. But what I want you to understand is this, and believe me, it be so. If God will let me go to heaven without Jesus Christ and the new birth, in this fleshly body, even though he'd extend my life, this body is never redeemed, will never be redeemed. I'd probably try to pick up the golden street of heaven and get to go off the street because sometime or another. Why? Because this body can never be nothing but corrupt. And I don't care where it would be at. If God would even allow us, and he's not, because nothing corrupt is going where he's at. So it helps me understand, he says, this body, again, he taught flesh and blood can't enter him. Why? I don't know what that body's going to run on, but I know this is not going to be, we know in the book of Hebrews, he talks a type of flesh, but not flesh and blood like this. This body runs on flesh. What's the Bible say? It's the life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. So that says to me, right there, when God blew into breath of life, man, in the garden, somehow or another, a circulatory system started flowing in his body. His heart began to beat. And every piece of his body came alive because of the blood. I wonder sometimes, you know, I just love to meditate. I wonder sometimes if God back in that day said, you know, I'm going to give this man a circulatory system of blood for the life of the flesh. And that's going to be his life. And there would come a time when his new sin come in that body would be drained of that blood, go back to the dust, and his blood could not make him live forever. Why? Because sin contaminated. But I'm going to come down when my sons come and take the very blood in him and put it on Calvary, shed it there. Precious blood, glorious blood. He says, then I'm going to apply that to them. They don't even know how. Well, this blood couldn't get us there. His blood can. And what flows in that glorified body, it won't be his blood, I don't believe, but it'll be because we're in heaven. When we get that glorified, let's know what it's going to run on. Wouldn't you? It won't be motor oil, I tell you that. But it'll be something glorious from God. If God can do this for this physical body and sin contaminated and he puts it back to the dust, you know going well for Christ is this, by the way, Christ had the blood of God. Ever how that works into the equation. And that blood secures forever. Secures forever. And I like that. Then he said he cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. That said to me this, then that which God has prepared there, with the veil beyond this life through faith, that tells me that this body that's corrupt cannot go there because he said corruption cannot go enter into the incorruption. So if he let me into heaven where there is no corruption, then that would be a false statement. So that just gives me a sure. Just a simple thing to me. I don't have to go no further. Just a simple thing. I know this body is not going to end up going where the glorified body is going to go because there's corruption in it. And he goes on. Well, it basically how time goes by. So what we're seeing then, that because Jesus Christ, because Adam is the head of the human race, Jesus Christ is the head part gives them this thing that really Adam was a type of Christ. Only in the federation here of these two groups of people that come into this world. So you have to be born physically to get in this world. We have no control of that. It's within what our parents come together, who comes together, and whatever happens, if God leads into it, or they just have whatever, somehow or another, we know this permissive or direct will of God, when it comes to physical, he set up procreation. And so we come into this world by the hand of God, but when it comes to the new creation, there is a message to reach over that you don't have to go the way you're going. Through the blood of Christ, you can be born into his family. So it makes them both equal as federation heads. Now, I said last week, let me say again, Adam was a type of Christ in this way of long, with some other ways. But one thing, he was far from being like Christ, even though he was in the image. Because I said to you then, you know, Jesus didn't sin, but Adam did. Jesus didn't have earthly wife, but Adam did. Jesus didn't name all the animals, but Adam did. Adam was the first human man made. Jesus was not the first human man made. So there's a lot of areas that are not the same, but in the federation head they are. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters, brothers. All that matters. Because Adam got us into this world, and the only one to get us out to be with God is Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad he didn't leave us here? Wouldn't it have been something he left us here and tried to get our best way he could? We never got there. None of us never got there. And we see that. So in fact, they're opposite in many ways. So how is Adam a type of Christ? It looks more like he's not, but we see that as you look in Romans chapter 5. Turn over there with me just a moment. We'll go back to that. Here's another way to avenue to approach this. Writing to Rome, he's writing a little bit different. They're stronger. Writing to Corinth, they're more carnal. He laid it out pretty straight, verse after verse we looked at. We go back over and we'll see. Maybe not tonight, but again, we read a few weeks ago, but he will come back to it later in 1 Corinthians when he said this in chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So not only are we coming to this world through Adam, we come into the family of God through Christ. And also, through Adam all die, which is a type. Adam, we all die. Christ, we all live that are in them. So those in Adam will die, but those who die in Christ while they're born physically will live forever. And that's what he said. But look with me, what says in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read verse 12, 13, 14 again, because that leads us into 15, to the end of this chapter, let us know who Jesus is in comparison to who Adam is. He says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, why? For they have sinned. In other words, death spread to all human beings because of sin. Now look in verse 19, and verse 19 will help me understand verse 12 better. Now watch what he said. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all. Why? Because all have sinned. Look in verse 19. He says, for as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners. See how that clarifies verse 1? It really goes a little deeper. By one man's disobedience. Over here he says we were all sinners by one man. Sinner's a big word. Some people think they're not sinners. But let me ask you, if you're not a sinner, do you disobey once in a while? Well, I reckon I do once in a while. Well, I'm glad you use this both fault, don't you? To me, they're the same. But he says simply this. For as by one man disobedient, by one man's disobedient, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Isn't that amazing? It's automatic. By one, we all made sinners. And if Adam did that, by one man's obedience, we can be made righteous. It's not automatic, but it can be. Now, there's nowhere you can find other than an example where David's son died as a babe that a babe's in heaven because he said he was. He said, I'll go see him. And so people ask where baby was at. To me, this verse helped me understand that. Because I go back and look at Adam, and I close with this thought. I go back and look at Adam, and we are sinners in Adam. And you'll hear this every time, especially you start talking to a person, they say, but I didn't do the sin Adam did. And I said, well, I didn't either. And that's what the Bible tells us. We didn't do the similar same sin, but because of his nature we inherit, we will practice what he practiced. I don't have to do what he did. There's no tree that I know God forbid me to eat of. That's right, brother. So how could I even do the sin he did? Do you know of a tree? God fixed some trees I won't eat of because they're not good. Try cinnamon once in a while and see what happens. Anybody ever eat a cinnamon? And they put cinnamon. Put cinnamon. You made that? You know, we kids do things. I mean, we burned tobacco one time. You ever done this? God, mule come up, there's a persimmon tree over there side. We boys, you know how boys, we always good. We had a little meat streak. I didn't do it, by the way. I just saw it done. And that mule come up that barn. He was aggravated as could be. He wouldn't stop when you say whoa, and you tell him to get up, he wouldn't get up. And the guy would drive on the sled. He had one, I had the other, but he come up, and they went over that persimmon tree and give that mule some of those persimmons. And that mule act like they were the delicious thing they ever eat to about 5 seconds. And I thought he was going to die. He took his head up. His mouth went every way. And that guy, what have you done to my meal? But he didn't like them. But I'm saying that there's no tree that God ever told me not to eat. Even that, he didn't say not eat it, but you won't eat over one time. But he did tell Adam, none of us did what Adam he did. But we did worse. Why? We have his nature. And so that helps me understand now. If a person born with his nature, from the innocent state, see, Adam and Eve's in an innocent state before they fell. In the innocent state, nothing was credited against them. But once they sin into this world, that nature passed on. I don't care if you're in a mother's womb or one day old, that's the nature we have, or 100 years old. Are you following me? So what happens is this. And I believe that. Now, here's a case. You can't find scripture other than the fact what David said about his son that died because of that mess he got into. He said, after that, he got up and said, he can't come back to us so we can go to him. Now, why would he say that? In David's mind, he thought he's going to go and believe he's going to go where his baby was at. And by the way, it won't go to hell either. So that helps me understand David had something that we don't know about other than the fact of faith that he knew his child was where God was at. But I say this then to this, and this is the end of theology. I can't prove it biblically, and I'm going to tell you that, but I can prove it by the standard I'm fixing to show you. That's what's said here about this in the sense of the Federation head being that, and we get that from him. You know, I was born of Adam. I have his nature. Therefore, my nature, if it's not changed, will follow that the way I want it to. It may not be, our nature, old nature may not be just exactly alike, but we are alike. What you think would be wrong and so forth, or saying or doing what you like, what you get, what I get, may be different, but it'll be the same because of Adam's nature. So I say to you, in an innocent state of a baby, until it comes of age, to know what's right and wrong. And by the way, a baby who is a year old still don't know what's right and wrong. They don't believe hot and cold is cold until they try it out. And you can tell them, don't you do that, but they'll try it out anyhow. Maybe two. What is that? I don't know. Some say 12. I don't think it's 12 years old. I think a baby can know what's right and wrong before 12 years old. But it's in God's hands. And I believe it all in my heart. It's because it's this blood of Christ that gets us out of that mess. And if Adam's blood that I get, I'm born into this world. If a baby dies before accountability, I believe that blood will protect that child as much so that Jesus Christ protects us, a new baby in Christ. If I'm a sinner, the wildest, wicked, ungodly man that's ever lived, if the blood of Christ by faith in Jesus Christ will cleanse my soul and I become a babe in Christ under the blood of Christ, I believe that little innocent baby never knew what it was to sin or say no or cuss or do anything. The blood of Christ protects him. My belief. Father in heaven, thank you again. Lord, we love you. And I pray you'd bless the word of God to our heart, Lord, not just our mind. Lord, we're seeing some deep things that helps us be settled. That's the reason, Lord, I know this. There's things I've got to have more than I've had years past if I've come to a place someone say, you trust Christ, you deny Christ, or you'll die. I've got to have more than just a simple religious jargon that people have in Christianity. You got to have more to know the truths of God. If not, it'll seem like they're fake when you get into a situation. Because Satan will make you think, if you get in a situation, you have to forfeit your life. God don't really love you. He must not really exist. God wouldn't let you have to go through that. God wouldn't let you go. Listen, if he's what you said he is, listen, Lord, this things that helps us prepare for whatever we have to face in the future, that we will do things that now we may not even know that we would do because of growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I pray that none of us may never have to face what those men in Egypt faced a few weeks ago. But who knows what's going to happen? Lord, I know this. There will be some in this country who will face that one day because this country is leaving God. And if God don't come back, there's no protection for this country other than God himself. Our armor is just not, will be able to do what's needed to protect us. And Lord, there may be some of our children or grandchildren or even great-grandchildren until the Lord comes back the way things are going and may have to do what some of those men did if they're going to stand for Christ. Lord, please make us see this thing is more than just a little something to know. It's a life. And we're so weak, we sure need your help. We need food for the soul. And I pray, Father, this would be food for our soul to help us grow, even though when sometimes we may not be growing, that we could understand the basic things that's built upon Jesus Christ, which is the foundation of the federation head of the spiritual race in Christ. And Jesus said we must be born again. When we were born physically, no one said we must be born physically. We didn't know other than God who we were. Even our parents didn't. But when we came into this world, we became part of this world. But Jesus tells us now in physical life, you must be born again. John 3. So that means we need a life other than physical life. And you're showing the parallel of the two so we can understand physical life that we can see and believe God for that which we cannot see. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.